Welcome to the Two Regular Teachers podcast. My name is Rick Kayla Thompson.
My name is Adam Lavaz. Thanks for joining us for episode 53. And Rico, we are finally into autumn.
Yeah, first day of autumn earlier this week, Adam. And I'm just wondering, being Victorians, we're used to some extremely hot weather at this time of year, and as a lot of Victorians will know, we haven't really had that massive heat wave, but March can be hot. And I'm just wondering, before kind of Easter comes, whether like on any school day we'll get a run of any of those 40 degree days.
Well, I reckon we might. I mean, if you think back to yesterday was 30 degrees. The day before Tuesday was, you know, 33, 34 or whatever it was. It certainly hasn't let up. What I want to say is, though, about autumn is I bought a big pack. This is kind of going off track a bit, but I bought a big pack to display in my classroom about, you know, it's a calendar and all those things, and it has a display where it says the season is, and then you put something on there that they give you, and then it says, and the weather is, you know, sunny, hot or whatever. I thought it was an Australian pack, so I went to go and change it over to autumn. It said fall.
Oh, God.
So I was actually quite annoyed because I thought it's come from Scholastic. Now, Scholastic's an Australian company that sends everything out. I thought, well, that would say autumn. It said fall. So I kind of don't know what to do yet.
Well, and it could be a good teaching point, Adam.
It could be. But I just worry about the parents coming going, fall. Oh, we're not American. We're not American here. You know, that sort of stuff. So that's what I'm kind of worried about. But yeah, it kind of ruined my mojo a bit.
Well, I know we've got some Canadian listeners too, Adam, and they use fall. So perhaps they might say it's not just American.
Do they use fall because it's the fall of the trees?
That's a good question.
Is that what
they're
doing?
Well, could
the fall of the leaves and that sort of stuff?
I think possibly. Could someone maybe who is an international listener please help us with that?
That would be good. But mate, we need to bring up as well that we got a really wonderful response last week to bring up Harold. And rightly so. Happy Harold, Dusty Harold, Hungover Harold.
Oh, well.
It could be.
But it's been great. I've had some fellow staff come up to me in the staff room, Adam, and mention their own Harold experiences. Thanks to those people for listening. And I know you've had a few people. We've had some people on social media contact us. So, again, if you've got any Happy Harold the giraffe anecdotes, send them our way.
Well, I believe a friend of ours has actually got the Life Ed van coming up. Actually, listened in and sent us a picture of the fact that theirs has been booked in, I think, for May around there. So we'd love to hear about that, how Harold's going, if he's improved or if he's still on the downhill march.
That person knows who he is, and I expect some anecdotes to come forth.
Me too. So look, mate, we're really looking forward to getting this episode. So without further ado, let's get going.
Let's go. Our first topic tonight, Adam, comes from one of our regular listeners and a friend.
It does.
And a great suggestion, because this topic suggestion is something that is quite regular for teachers in Australia. And it's the curriculum day, Adam.
The old curriculum day.
And we thought we'd touch on what they're all about, the reaction from staff towards curriculum days, how schools use them, and whether, in the overall scheme of things, whether they're worth it. Mm. Now, I know in Victoria we get government schools get a small selection of curriculum days to use for the year, don't they?
Yeah, they get. I think we're given days. I think we have to have them. I think it's 4 days where there has to be some curriculum days. And I know some schools use 2 of them to kick off the year. Some schools use just the 1 and so forth to do it that way. So yeah, we get a selection to use at our leisure too. We can kind of choose when we want to have them, as long as we have them.
And sometimes schools might use one of them to really tackle perhaps what the school vision is, maybe,
or from the AIP.
From the strategic plan. And then other times they might be used to get an expert in from outside. Mm. Sometimes you might actually spend a curriculum day going to another school, mind you, and actually seeing their craft and what they do. But I just want to touch on the logistics first of a curriculum day, Adam. There's always, I don't know about you, but when you drive to work on a curriculum day, there's always a different feeling. You can some leadership might say, we're going to kick off at 9 o'clock. Yeah. And so people kind of think, well, I probably don't need to arrive then until about 8:30, 8:45. And it's not being lazy. It's kind of that little, just a bit of a different start to the day. There's definitely a different mood in the staff when everyone arrives on a curriculum day. Yeah. There's not that edginess.
Yeah, I agree. And I find myself still arriving quite early on a curriculum day, simply out of habit.
Me too.
Simply out of habit. Even though I know in the back of my mind, I really could turn up at 8:50 and walk in and grab myself a seat and away we go. I find the atmosphere is tough because I think I like to get there and get a good seat. Now, if we're having a curriculum day in-house and I know that we're using, you know, the TV and stuff, I want a good spot where I'll just be sitting there watching the TV. The last spot you want on a curriculum day is right near that TV, where not only you have to crane your neck, but you know, while you're watching something like a PowerPoint or something, everyone else is watching the back of your head. Yeah. And almost any move you make, so you might turn around and fidget with something, everyone's watching you do that. So you've got to get a spot where there's minimal problems, like people watching it, and you've got a good spot in front of that TV.
That is so true. And also, if you are up the front, you're near the person who's running it as well, aren't you? So if it's your boss, you're kind of, you're in the firing line to cop that sort of question.
Yeah, you almost go overboard in the way that you really, you know, really, you have a pondering look on your face more often than not, you know.
And you nod.
Yeah, you get a lot of nodding. Yeah. And this one, you know, a lot of that sort of stuff. Yes. And then that look around the rest of the staff is to say, oh, I agree with that.
Absolutely. And you can tell, look, speaking of that pondering look, if you go and look at my profile picture on Twitter, that's kind of my pondering look a lot.
Is that how you sit through most meetings and curriculum days?
Covering the mouth sometimes, and the nodding,
Is that covering a giggle, or you've actually slipped in a bit of chocolate you didn't want anyone to see?
It can be a little bit of both.
Yeah, good.
But speaking of how people act too, you've always got, you can tell the people who have come to the curriculum day. This probably comes with more experience in the job. Some of the staff that come, and they have pre-planned to come and switch off for the day. Yeah. Like, you know, you can just see the eyes are distant. Yep. They're using it as a day just to time out.
Yeah, you kind of feel like if you look in their direction, they're looking at you. They're not really looking at you, they're looking through you to something else. Or the eyes go up to the ceiling there. You can see them counting ceiling tiles, or there's dots up there and they're counting them. And then they're jolted back, and sometimes someone gets caught out. Such and such, what do you think about this? I think, you know, what do you think? And I try and hand pass things off.
You can absolutely get nailed for that, can't you?
You can.
But then there's also the other staff member at the other end of the scale, and I know that I've been this before, who you're kind of feeling a bit energized. I don't know, like you're healthy, you're feeling good, and you arrive and you get involved. And there's some people who get involved a lot, and you hear their voice a lot, always raising their hand.
Yep.
Sometimes there's always someone who takes that a bit too far, and you just think, just shut up for a bit.
Exactly right. And do you think sometimes that the people who contribute the most are the ones who are on contract, who kind of feel like they have to be involved, that we've got to be contributing something, to be seen that we're listening and contributing, whereas the ones who are ongoing still contribute but can kind of not get away with switching off a little bit? But do you find that a little
facetious,
bit?
Facetious, but I think...
It had to be said.
I think there is probably a little bit of truthfulness in that, particularly with the graduates. And that, again, we've touched on that. That's unfair. But I think that is inbuilt, and I think you're right. Now, the other thing that our listener suggested, our friend, was that sometimes, and this happens a lot with curriculum days that are at the school, ran by the school, sometimes people can get towards the end of them and feel really jaded. And almost like they've been a waste of time. Just get me back into the classroom. Have you ever experienced one like that, Adam?
Over the journey, of course, I think every teacher, every leader, every principal who go to other meetings and things, I think you come out of something at some stage going, I really got nothing out of that. I really, you know, I'm in the middle of trying to do running records. I'm in the middle of doing something. I really could have used this day to do that. I definitely think so. And I think, I think everyone goes into a PD generally going, well, I'm going to get something out of this. I'm going to listen. But it does. It gets to 1:30 and you kind of have that last lunch break. You know, you have that lunch break, you go away and you think, one more hour to go. You know, that last hour, you're just trying, almost constantly looking at the clock to go, is it 3:30, is it 3:30 sort of stuff.
And you feel more tired sometimes, don't you? Because you're kind of sitting there and you're eating or snacking at different times. You kind of feel a bit more exhausted at the end of the day than you would on a teaching day.
Mentally exhausted. You end up yawning a bit too much too.
You do.
I come back to as well? I wanted to mention those ones that take it too seriously. The people at Curriculum Lads annoy the most, who sit there and take copious amounts of notes on handouts that already have the notes on them. Or you go somewhere else and someone goes, so don't worry about taking notes, everyone. The PowerPoint will be emailed out and everything there. And it's almost, they ignore them.
Yeah.
And they're sitting there feverishly writing notes and not actually listening or getting involved in it. It irks me. It's like silliness.
Like the old PowerPoint sheets that people hand out, where it's got the slides and then those little lines, four lines by the side.
What's the point? It's all on the PowerPoint. Anyway.
One of the most wasted things of paper. Wasted ideas.
I agree. Just email us the PowerPoint.
Absolutely. I just want to kind of finish off with touching on some of the positive stuff though. You can walk away from a curriculum day when, let's say, you've had an expert come in to do something with maths. You can walk away sometimes with, look, you know, and you can't wait to get back into the classroom, can you?
Absolutely.
And we aren't talking about conferences here or things like that. We're more talking about people who come into the school.
You met PD. I can even talk. I went to a PD on Friday about coding around the Geelong Library with a couple of other staff members, and I actually left feeling pumped. I actually left feeling that was fantastic. You know, we sat there and came up with a plan with how we want to implement it. We did all these things. We got to just simply sit there and play. You know, play around with it, do those hands on. We didn't just sit there and listen to someone talk for 5 hours. I left on that Friday, even though it was the weekend, feeling pumped and excited to go and do it. It was fantastic.
We might need you to share some of that with us in another episode.
I think
some coding. Just to finish off, Adam, on a lot of curriculum days that we've had at our school, I always bring the Sharon football. And we always go out onto the oval, like, just, you know, anyone's welcome and have a kick. Yep. And particularly if you're at curriculum day in autumn or early winter, the sun's shining. It's a really nice thing to do.
That's a great idea, mate. And I think that's what you got to do. You got to take things out of the way the day just kind of just goes, and you need something to kind of break that up. So I think that's a great idea, mate. So Rick, the second topic we wanted to talk about tonight is something that I wanted to touch on with you in terms of your transition from grade six back to grade three. Now, I know from spending a lot of time with you that social media and the use of the internet and a lot of tools and things like that was really an integral part of your teaching and what you sort of taught the students. And I know that for you, going back to grade three, there is quite a large difference. You know, the kids aren't as independent. They don't have the same amount of knowledge. And I thought, going from an article that you brought up with me about social media, how has that transition changed? And can it still help you back in grade three to manage a successful classroom?
That's a great question, Adam. And you're absolutely right. It can help, but it kind of is like starting again. There are lots of skills that I can bring to year three side. And the reason why I wanted to talk about this topic this week is because I am introducing Edmodo into the classroom this week. In fact, it all is kind of happening today. The kids have taken home a note about it.
And, fantastic.
And we're going to use Edmodo to kind of complement using Central, which is the learning management system that we use. Now, you mentioned these year three kids not having maybe a lot of the skills. They've got heaps of skills. Mm. And I know that they'll pick this up quick. Mm. But it's really about, I really want to start well. I want to give them the love of using an online tool and collaborating online, but also giving them that, talking about that respect.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'm really I've kind of sent the note home today, and then and tomorrow we're going to play around with it. And that's my big moment. Yeah.
So I suppose you're going to talk about it in a moment, but Edmodo's a big thing for you, just particularly for those who maybe still don't know a lot about it and things. Using Edmodo, how does that help you to manage your classroom in terms of what I'm asking is, what do you use it for with the students?
Well, when I started using it a few years ago, it used to be just to break down the walls. Like when Edmodo was originally designed, it was to break down the classroom walls, to expand them. And that's really what it was. It was a place to communicate about what we were learning. And that's where I'm still going with the grade threes this week, to knocking down our walls, because I need to start simple. I've tried to start too big in the last couple of years. And at DigiCon last year, we talked about my presentation about Edmodo. And you know what? In hindsight, now that nearly a year's gone by, I felt a little bit disappointed with my presentation and a little bit sort of underwhelmed myself, only because I felt like I'd missed out on the opportunities over the last couple of years at my new school to really get it going.
Yep.
And I feel like this year is going to be a great sort of launching pad.
Almost like you can start afresh.
Yeah, to start afresh. And the importance of social media is just so big, I think, Adam. And we've shared, there's so many posts on it, but one that I quite like because it's succinct is shared from Edu Wells his blog. He's a teacher from New Zealand. Look, making connections, building networks, sharing learning, receiving feedback from peers, and growing one's own learning. He lists those things as challenging the purpose of a traditional classroom. Yeah. And to answer your question, they're the things that I've used it for.
Mm, great.
Feedback from peers. We've put writing on there. Some kids feel really comfortable conversing about something like their writing on Edmodo than they do actually sitting there at the table.
Yeah. Do you think that's because, as well, sitting at the table there, they find it really hard to verbally get across their thoughts, whereas sitting in front of a computer, sitting at home, they've actually got time. They've got time to sit there and really assess where they're at and assess what they think they're having trouble with and write it out. And even if they start to write it and make a mistake, they can delete it. Whereas sitting, like you said, sitting at the table, they kind of feel like they're under the pump, they're under the spotlight, I've got to get it out and I can't. It gives them that opportunity to take their time.
Yeah, and absolutely. He mentions in the article that things like Edmodo or even things that are public like YouTube are teaching young people that networks kind of share a common goal, and that's bigger than the sum of their parts. And that made me think of people who say, does Edmodo do this? And do you use it for this? And why doesn't it do that? And I think, forget those questions. Mm. It's really about that common goal. So being in there together, learning how to be safe online, learning how to converse online, and sharing our learning. It's not always for everyone. Some people prefer to do everything in person. And we're not taking away that in-person thing, but I want my kids to understand that our learning doesn't stop when we walk out at 3:20.
Yeah. So for me to you as well, I know we're getting to the end of this topic. What is, you're starting small. What are you asking of your grade threes to really get them going and to get them, into that love of using something like Edmodo?
I want to start small. This week, all we're doing is talking about good passwords. Because for Edmodo, they kind of need a slightly unique password that's different to the ones they are using for our other accounts at school. So we'll be talking about good passwords, and then it'll be really about writing posts. That's what it'll be, Adam, and replying.
Yep.
So the idea of that, like, your voice is not the only voice in a social network, and kids at this age have still got that kind of that individualism, like where they don't quite see as far outside themselves.
It's that tunnel vision.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. So we want to talk about that replying to someone's post is even more powerful than you putting yours on there.
Great.
That's like a tweet feed, isn't it? Like,
yeah, very much so.
Twitter would be pointless if we weren't responding to one another.
Very much so. So look, Rick, we're going to finish this off here, but I would actually love to revisit this as the year progresses, almost maybe do some Edmodo specials in a way, where we can come back over a couple of weeks and see how the grade threes are going and how that management of your classroom is faring.
Absolutely. And if you're using any other social network in your classroom that's working well, where kids are conversing, let us know.
Righto, mate. Third topic for tonight is one that I thought would be a really good discussion point, I think that everyone can relate to, and it's the old sticker chart and the reward system that can be used not only in classrooms, but that families can also use at home. Now, thinking back to our time in the classroom, mate, I'm sure that you can think back and the teachers, what they use to try and keep the kids in line as a reward system. Now, I know you mentioned something to me previously in your time in primary school about jelly beans. Am I right?
Oh, yeah, you are. Grade 2 teacher, I have fond memories of it, but used to have this little Tupperware container in her top drawer of her desk, which was always full with jelly beans, fresh jelly beans. Mm. And they'd be hanging over your head. You and the table you sat on, your head. Mm. That was the ultimate reward.
Yeah.
And when you won, you would put that jelly bean in your mouth as you're walking out of the class at the end of the day, and people would be looking at you with envy.
Yeah.
It was just absolute gold. But now, looking back on it, like a lolly reward for having a good table, I'm not so sure, but...
Yeah, well...
You had experiences...
I have. It's actually funny. The one I remember the most is high school, and we had a year 9 and 10 geography teacher called Mr. Knox. Now, Mr. Knox loved to sit on the edge of his table with a couple of buttons undone, tufts of hair coming out the top of the shirt, and what he would do is he'd have minties. So if he asked a question and you got it right, so he asked some question about, so everyone, can anyone tell me the geographical location of a country in Africa? And then hands would go up and he'd go, right, 1, 2, 3, 4. And then if you got it right, he'd go around and go, minty, 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 just like that. And he'd throw, but the minty, you'd be able to sit there.
Unbelievable.
You'd be able to sit there and open up and have this minty, and you think, well, I got the question right. And you'd be more inclined to stick your hand up, even if you thought it might be wrong, to answer a question. So in a way, it was really good. But at the same time, we also want to actually talk about the other side and how it can possibly, particularly at home, teach kids and children to only do things if there's a reward involved.
That's right. Well, you're a parent of barely a one-year-old daughter, and I'm not a parent yet. But the article that you've shared on the blog this week is against the sticker chart, isn't it?
It's very much so.
And it talks a lot about parents using it for social norms, so social behaviour at home. It brings up a term, Adam, called market norm, and I think we could relate this to school, is that if you're using something like a reward system, like a sticker chart or jelly beans all the time, then the kids or the students are going to start, this is what the article suggests, is that the kids will start doing whatever they're doing, showing good behaviour for a market reason, like a market norm.
Yes.
So instead of doing it because it's socially right, doing it for the reward. So basically, if I do this, then I will get food, I'll get money, I'll get something like that. And I see a big problem in that.
Yeah, I do too. And I think it's actually more of a problem for parents, because sometimes if the parents are having problems with their kids at home, the first port of call is the teacher, and they will come up and say, look, I'm having trouble getting to do this. What do you think I should do? And I think for a teacher, and I know for myself, I've been guilty of it, it's very easy to say, well, why don't you start up a reward system? And I've always encouraged, say, look, instead of letting them come home and just watch TV, actually encourage them to come home and say, no, before you watch the TV, I'll let you have that time on TV, but first I actually want you to sit and read with me for 10 minutes and we'll talk about your book and doing those things. But are we actually doing a little bit of a disservice? Should we be actually encouraging the parents to say, well, no, bad luck, you're going to sit and read with me before you do anything else? Are we actually encouraging it a little bit too much from the teacher point of view?
Yeah, maybe. I don't think I am, but like, I think that those conversations are definitely happening.
Mm.
Adam, I'd like to think that the days are gone where there's the sticker chart on the wall of a classroom that, even for academic results, like the times tables chart, I must admit, I've never done it. I've had kids in the past, in my early years of teaching, ask for it, but it just shows up the people who are not achieving as high, doesn't it? And I think we also are going to share George Kuros wrote an article about it back in 2013 on his website. And he mentioned how he used to do it when he was a younger teacher, and he kind of is embarrassed now, by it. But what he mentions is about how we discuss good behaviour with the kids. And I still believe that, it can take it out of you sometimes, but having just constant discussions one-on-one with the kids about how they're acting is better.
Yeah.
It's about, this is the right thing to do. This is the climate of our classroom. Actually talking to them as a human being. Yeah, not saying, do this and you'll get a sticker.
I agree, because that's real life, isn't it? I mean, you and I don't do what we do because our principal is going to give us, $1,000 bonus or give us an afternoon off or something. We do it because that's who you are. That's what a moral and a good person does, is they go out of their way to do things correctly and do things right, because that's what we should be doing. It's not because we expect some sort of reward at the end. So I think that's spot on. Having that discussion, getting into that growth mindset of actually going, no, well, I am going to do the right thing because there is good consequences at the end of it, and it makes me feel good, and I'm supporting others and doing those things. I think that's a much better way of looking at it.
I've used stickers over the past, with teaching the younger grades, mainly for little bits and pieces of work they've done in their books.
Mm.
Sometimes I've done, and I normally do it earlier in the year just for that kind of motivation. But it's sort of something that, I've got a box of stickers in my drawer that I've had since about 2010.
Really?
Yeah, and I just haven't used them all. It probably goes to show. I just feel that conversations are stronger in that, and relationships more than using the stickers.
I still think there's a place in the classroom for a way to encourage your students for that good behaviour. And I've spoken to you about it before, but I've done money maths in the past, particularly with the higher students, where the students have a job within the classroom. So that's where they're cleaning the whiteboard at the end of the day, putting the chairs up, getting the roll, where they're rewarded with a weekly salary, so to speak. So that might be $40. The rub on that is that they also have to pay rent on their chair. So wherever they're sitting, it might be $15. So they do come out on top. But also with that is that they have to take some responsibility for what they do. So if they just are blasé with their things and they lose things, well, if they lose a rub up, you've got to buy one off me. That's going to cost you $5. If you need to go to the toilet during class time, that's going to be $5. There's things there where they have to be responsible. There wasn't too many rewards involved with it, but they knew they had to continually do these things to stay ahead. And it kind of felt like a lot of parents really enjoyed that, because it felt that they taught them life skills. That you get a wage, you have to pay for things, you have to do it, and you have to be responsible. And that was a way of subtly rewarding the kids without it going overboard.
Yeah, I can see the all the mathematical, mental maths, whatever you want to call it, going on there I think there's some absolute validity in that. So I guess we'd like to hear what's some of the craziest sticker charts that you've seen or have been or experienced in your classroom. We would certainly love to know that. And if you're listening to our podcast tonight, you get a lovely, great sticker.
Thank you. And a thumbs up from me.
Well, Adam, it's your anecdote. Over to you.
It is, mate. I feel like I've got a good one tonight. Just in my travels across the internet, I'm always looking for fun things and things like that. I stumbled across the rules for teachers from 1872.
Ooh.
And these are the expectations of teachers and what they were required to do in the classroom. And I thought we might compare them to now and how many teachers would actually go. So I'm going to throw this. I'll give you some examples.
Oh, can I just have a disclaimer first? Yep. Both male and female teachers?
Yeah, both male and female teachers.
I know there's lists out there about what female teachers
look,
should do.
Look, there is things specifically for women teachers on this as well. And I might actually start with this one, because I want you to think about some of the women teachers. The first one, number six, this was, women teachers who marry or engage in unseemly conduct will be dismissed.
Ooh.
So
where is the unseemly conduct happening?
Well,
in the car park.
Well, I know a few. How many teachers these days, women teachers, would not have a job, mate? It's unbelievable.
Well, it is unbelievable. I mean, that's fair. Is that real?
That's fair income. That is absolutely fair income. So if a woman actually, while they were a teacher, got married, or I guess unseemly conduct might be dating, maybe, or courting somebody, get the flick.
There's just still the very slightest bit of underlying stuff, I reckon, in some schools when females go on maternity leave. I just think sometimes when a school cops, and it must be frustrating, I understand that when there's a constant turnover, but that's just how it is.
Yeah, it is.
But I kind of feel like there's that little bit, I've just got the inkling from some families over the years too, if their child's been in a class that has a teacher that's gone on maternity leave, that little bit, it was an interrupted year. And I'm like, that's life. Yeah.
And you got to go away and have a kid.
Yeah.
So why can't the teacher do it?
Anyway.
Well, the second one I want to share with you, I think a lot of teachers would be fired for this one these days. Any teacher who smokes, uses liquor in any form, frequents pool or public halls, or gets shaved in a barber shop, will give good reason to suspect his worth, intention, integrity, and honesty.
So hang on. So so they don't have the integrity. So if I get my beard shaved at the barber shop, I'm no good.
Good reason to suspect your worth, intention, integrity, and honesty. Now I don't know how getting shaved in a barber shop says you don't have any honesty.
I don't know. I mean, because sometimes, I mean, I go to a local barber and it's fantastic. You just walk in with no appointment, and they have offered when I've been a bit overgrown, which is rare.
Yep.
Would you like me to trim? You know, I'm like, it's a lovely exchange.
So should you go in there and he says, could I give you a beard a bit? No, sorry, I don't want to question my honesty.
I'll just ring my principal first.
The other one I want to bring up with that one is, how many teachers would now be fired around reporting time using liquor in any form?
We'd
all be given a flick, I reckon.
I have to get rid of that little fridge I've got under my desk with the six pack in it. Yeah.
The other one, there's a couple of other ones that I thought would be really good. Number five. After 10 hours in school, now think about that, 10 hours in school, the teachers may spend the remaining time reading the Bible or other good books.
Thanks very much. I know. Fantastic. So my Bible is The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings. So I'm assuming that's what they mean, Adam, don't they?
I would love to see you back in 1872 try and run that past the education board back then.
Well, Tolkien, I think, was alive, but it was only maybe a child then, so I don't think he would have
had the books and stuff. But you can go, hey, maybe we shouldn't be doing this podcast. We should be reading the Bible.
Well, you and I do 10-hour days regularly, Adam, or more. Yeah, so
we do.
Gee, I tell you what. I don't think I have one in my top drawer.
Well, maybe you have to answer. I do like good fiction books, so the Bible would fit in really well. So the other one, I'll bring up one more. I'll bring up two more really quickly. Number two, each teacher will bring a bucket of water and a scuttle of coal for the day's session.
So we've got to, I know what that means. So we've got to clean up as well. So in between all that fantastic learning and teaching we're doing, we've got to scrub.
We do. We've got to get down and scrub. Can I say that I don't think that rule's changed that much today, because the amount of female teachers I see bringing in a bucket, what looks to be a bucket of water, which is a ginormous drink bottle, they're kind of still doing that one anyway.
Hey, Adam, you can never have too big a drink bottle. You need to keep drinking water, Adam.
I can't wait to see someone. I'm going to get to the point where someone's lopping it over their shoulder as they bring the imbecile down. Last one, because I know we want to finish up. The last one on here is, the teacher who performs his labour faithfully and without fault for 5 years will be given an increase of 25 cents per week in his pay, providing the Board of Education approves.
You need to send that to the Australian Education Union before they have their final meeting with the government, I think this week, Adam.
Yeah, this week, yeah.
For the new agreement.
Yeah, for the new agreement, because I want my extra 25 cents and I want it now.
5 years, Adam.
Yeah, I know.
Gee. No PDPs in between there, obviously.
Well, probably not, but that's 5 years of not getting married, no frequenting public halls, bringing your bucket of water. I mean, it was a big job back then.
We can never complain again, Adam. Those poor 1872 era teachers.
Yep, poor things. I didn't even have an iPad. So, mate, that brings an end to episode 53, and it was another ripper.
It was a great episode, Adam. A nice plethora of topics. And we'd like to give a shout out to The Lynch.
Yep.
He knows who he is.
B. Lynch.
For suggesting our opening topic tonight about curriculum days. And if you're out there listening and you've got an idea, you'd like to hear a topic talked about, please share it with us, because we love getting those kind of regular classroom frontline topics.
Yeah, and we want to give you topics that you want to hear. So if there's something that's on your mind that you've come out of a PD, you've had a rough day and you want to let us know, we'd love to talk about it. So from me, Adam Lavaz.
Me, Rick Kayla Thompson, and we've both been two regular teachers.